Ezekiel chapter 34, a portion of scripture that we read, and I want to leave with you tonight the verse 29. The verse 29, "And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore." The plant of renown is our subject tonight. Here in our text, we have in this description a promise concerning Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this chapter, God promises to raise up for his people, his flock, Christ. And there are several descriptions of the Lord Jesus in this chapter. He's the shepherd, the one shepherd. He is called the servant shepherd, the servant of the Lord. He's called David, my servant David, a prince among them. And he's called the prince on the throne of David, the shepherd, the servant, king. But here in our text, he is called by this most unusual term, a plant of renown. That's different. Shepherd, servant, prince, king, David, all those terms we are familiar with, we can associate with Messiah. Here's one that is different. Now, the word plant in our English language causes us to think of something planted. Maybe we think of a flower, a rose, something like that, a plant. It is, of course, a horticultural and agricultural word, even in the text here. It's not just a pretty plant. It's not just a solitary plant. I don't think that that's the image. It's not a rose or a lily or even just a tree that's been planted. Indeed, Christ is pictured by all of these things. He's the rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valley. He's the branch of the Lord that is to be beautiful and glorious. And he is to grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. So there are the images of him as a solitary plant, a solitary tree. But by plant here is meant something wider than that, something greater than that. It refers to a place. Maybe a good word is plantation, a plantation of renown. We sometimes even use the word plant to describe a production place, a production work. We might say, oh, the children work up at the plant. And I think that's maybe the idea of that we should have in this word here. It's not just a solitary flower, but a fruitful place, a productive place, so productive that the people will not starve again. It's an orchard. It's a vineyard with plenty of fruit. It's fields of barley and wheat so that the people don't hunger. That's the context of it there. You can see that. They'll not be consumed with hunger anymore. And of course, that wouldn't be true if it was just, you know, a rose or a lily or even a solitary tree. No, these are fields of grain. This is a place that is providing for all the flock, feeding the multitudes of the people of God. So it's a place of crops, a well-watered garden, a fruitful field, the land of barley and wheat, the land of bread. Some refer to the church, because in Isaiah 61 we read that God is going to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion and give unto them beauty for ashes, that they might be called trees of righteousness. So here's a picture of God's people as trees, a lot of trees, trees of righteousness. And then he adds, the planting of the Lord. That's the same word. It's not a verb, planting. It's a noun. All these trees are called the plantation of the Lord, the planting of the Lord. And that's the same word that's used here, the plantation of renown. But this is not referring to the church, as in Isaiah 61, I don't feel. It is true that the church is the Lord's garden, the church is the Lord's place, and that church is productive and fruitful. But in our text, I think it must refer to Messiah, to Christ. He is the plant of renown. He is the garden of the Lord. He is the paradise from which we get all our nourishment and all our food. Who is to us the bread of life. Who that when we come to him, we never hunger again. And when we drink from him as a river of life, we never thirst again. And so that's the imagery here. And I think probably one of the best commentaries on the verse is the word of Christ in John's Gospel. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And that's because he's the plant of renown. And it's because of him and him alone that God's people hunger no more. Christ satisfies. Christ takes away from his people death, the starvation of death, and he brings to them the abundant fruit of everlasting life. And that's how I take the text tonight, and that's the way that I want to deal with it. Now, in the text, there are two things. There is, first of all, a divine work, because this plant of renown doesn't mysteriously appear. It doesn't come by accident, but by design, because it says, I will raise up for them, that is for the flock. That's why this plant of renown can't be the church, because this is raised up for the church. I will raise up for them a plant of renown. God's going to do it. This storehouse of salvation, this place into which they can come and never hunger anymore, this is raised up by God. God will see to it that there is one who will become to us the bread of life. And of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, because God did raise him up. He sent him into the world. He so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He raised up Jesus Christ. And so whenever we preach Christ, as we often do, and as the church often does, we do not leave out the Father. We are not Jesus-only people. We are the triune God people. We preach Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we do not preach Christ as one divorced from his Father, but as one given by his Father, as one sent by the Father. So when we exalt Christ and preach Christ, and are always proclaiming that great and holy name by which we are saved, we are not lessening or lowering the Father. We're glorifying him too in the preaching of his Son. And we never forget that it was the Father who sent him. And it said of his first coming that God hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And that's the one who is referred to here in the text. Now this term raised up is often used of Jesus Christ, especially in the New Testament. It is sometimes used of the first advent generally, but there is usually a focus on the resurrection in this term raised up. I will raise up a plant of renown. And we don't have that plant of renown until we have resurrection. There has to be death. There has to be a going down into the depths of the earth. There has to be a line, as it were, abiding under the power of death for a season. And then they're being raised up out of death so that he may be life to the people and the nations. So you keep in mind the resurrection in this term. The raised up one. God raised him up. He looked like barren ground. He looked like he was dead and buried and that was the end. But God raised him up. And this is fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that he is the raised one, the living one, the resurrected, ascended, and reigning one. That this is referring to the Christ now in glory. He's been raised up of the Father from the dead, and he's now the plant of renown. It's what he is now. Whom God hath raised up, Peter said. It was the first sermon of the Christian church on the day of Pentecost. Peter's preaching him, the raised up one, raised up from the pains of death, raised up from the grave. He's the raised up to become the plant of renown, to become the one who will feed the nations of believers. This Jesus hath God raised up, he said. A couple of times he said it in the same sermon. He seems to have Ezekiel 34 and Psalm 16 and various other portions of the Old Testament in mind. He's just had his understanding opened by the Lord Jesus. He just heard the best sermon there ever was, expounding the Old Testament scriptures from the mouth of Jesus. And he knows how to preach. And he knows how to interpret the Old Testament. And God has raised him up. And he's reigning and he's life-giving. On to you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus Christ, sent him to bless you and turning every one of you from your sins. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day. So that's the early verses in the Acts of the Apostles. That's how they preached. This raised up one. This life giver who's came out of death and passed through death and by the power of his blood has been raised again to give life to the people. This is what is being referred to. And that's how we are to think of this text. Not just Christ that was sent and he died and hung on a tree, but that as the sent one who died and hung on the tree, he was buried and he was raised up. And he's now the plant of renown. This is what he is today for sinners. This is what he is today for those who will enter in by faith into Jesus Christ. So as the sent one, he's the raised up one, raised up to be life, the bread of life. And the Father has done all of this for us sinners. I will raise up a plant of renown. And then there are the blessed effects of that work. I will raise up for them a plant of renown. And the result of this will be that the flock, the people of God, they will no more be consumed with hunger. They'll hunger no more. Neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. You see, Christ is not lying in the tomb. He's not dead and rotting, but he's living and fruitful. And he's seeing his seed, and he's seeing the production that's coming into the plant of renown to receive life. He's a life-giving plant. He's a satisfying plant. So the people who come into him are satisfied. They receive the bread of life. They never shall die, they never shall perish, they never shall hunger, they never shall thirst and perish. They'll never be disappointed in him. Whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. So he whom God raises up thus for sinners is such a plant. But it is this word renown that I really want to focus on. He's not just a plant that feeds multitudes. He's a plant of renown. I like that about the Lord Jesus. It's a lovely word. He is renowned. The word means name. He's a plant of name. He's a plant of reputation and fame and glory. He's well known. His name is spread abroad. The Lord says, I raise up a plant that will be famous in the earth. He'll be talked about in all nations and all peoples. That's been fulfilled today, hasn't it? The Lord Jesus is so famous. He's so renowned. He has a name A name of fame, a name above every other name, the Bible says. So he's famous and he has honor and glory. And we're not just talking about in heaven. Of course, the Lord Jesus has renown in heaven. He's famous in heaven. He is honored in heaven. He's all the glory of the heaven. He's the honor of the Father. He's the honor of the angels. He's the honor of the church triumphant. Everybody talks about him in heaven, and all heaven is centered around him. He's the Lamb in the midst of them, the Lamb in the midst of the throne, the one that all eyes are upon, the very subject of heaven, the very theme song of heaven. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. So yes, in heaven he's renowned. But this is not about his renown in heaven. This is about his renown on earth, among men, among the nations, among people. So we're talking about his renown below, his renown here, his fame, his name in this world of hunger and death, in this world of needy sinners, in this world of famine and perishing, in the world of sinners, he is the plant of renown. In the world of Zacchaeus, in the world of Mary Magdalene's, in the world of Philippian jailers, in the world of Saul's of Tarsus, in the world of women of Samaria, in the world of Lydia's, in the world of burdened unclean sinners, he is renowned. That's a marvelous thing. And he is too. I mean, this word has been fulfilled, like all the prophecies and promises of God. There's no one more renowned than Jesus Christ. He's famous. How is it that he is renowned? If we think about what it is that has made him to be renowned, this man of Galilee, this Jesus of Nazareth, how is it that he has become renowned? Obviously, in the first place, it's because of his life and ministry on earth that has brought him the fame and the renown. Never a man lived on the earth like Jesus Christ. There's never a man who could have such renown as Jesus Christ. Now, there are men well known, men famous, but none of the caliber of Jesus Christ. He is head and shoulders above all others. Never a man had a birth like Jesus Christ. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Never a birth like that. Never a conception like that. No man ever had that but Jesus. And then no man had the accompaniment of angels like Jesus. You remember how the angels surrounded, as it were, Bethlehem and the multitude of the heavenly host, and nearly all seemed to be there, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill. Unto you is born this day in the city of David." What man ever had an angel announce their birth? What man ever was declared by an angel, "You'll see him in swaddling bands, lying in a manger. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Savior of the earth." What man ever had that announcement? Of what man was it ever said, seen of angels? Angels always watching him. Angels always accompanying him. Angels always gazing down in their spare time and in their commissions from the Father to look upon him, to see the Son of God in flesh. No man had that renown. Only Jesus. And then you think about all his mighty works. You think about the great deeds that he done. They were amazed, it says in the Bible, at the mighty power of God. No man had that power. They were all amazed at the mighty power of God, and they wondered at those things which he did. They said, "He's done all things well. And so all his works were bringing him renown. Who else raised the dead like he did? Who spoke a word and they saw or they heard or they lived who were previously dead? His touch scattered leprosy. Of no other man is that said. He made eyes for those who had no eyes, who were born without eyes, out of the soil and out of the clay. His deeds have brought him renown. There's no other man of whom these things are said. And so the Father is true. He is a plant of renown, of fame, of honor, of name. What other man had a forerunner like Jesus and John the Baptist? Oh, no one had someone coming before them ever like Jesus had. And John the Baptist, that mighty preacher, that prophet in the wilderness, declaring in the power of the Holy Spirit, the coming one, making him renowned. And then you think of his teaching, of his preaching. Never a man spake like this man. There never was a renowned teacher like him on the earth. All bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they were amazed that he could be Joseph's son. And then no man died like him either. Never was a death like the death of our Lord. Truly, the centurion said, who witnessed many deaths, truly this man was the Son of God. Who else had an eclipse of the sun when they were dying that lasted 3 hours? Who ever heard of an eclipse of the sun for 3 hours? It never has took place on the earth until this man died. Who died like this man and had blood and water coming out of his side and brought life to sinners? Of no other man could that ever be said. He's renowned for his life on earth. And then his resurrection. Oh, all the famous men are in the tomb. All the famous men have grand tombs that you can visit. And from time to time they open them up and they do an inspection of the bones. But this man was raised up from the dead, raised up by the power of the Father, so that he would continue into eternity the plant of renown, of fame, the one who conquered death, the one who does not lie under the power of death, the one who does not rot and decay, but rather brings to perishing sinners life eternal, the one who reigns now. Did ever a man reign like this? A man reigning at the right hand of God, a man on high, crowned with glory and honor. There never was a man renowned like Jesus Christ. The word has been fulfilled. The word is so true. The scriptures do never err. Jesus Christ is this plantation of renown. So all this has brought him his fame. We must also think that it is the Bible, God's word, that has made him renowned. Because you see, we were not all present when he lived and walked upon the earth. And we rely upon the Holy Scriptures that they continue the story of this man of renown from generation to generation. And so what has made him to be renowned above all men on the earth is his word, is the Bible. Especially the four Gospels. They have done it. They are written by eyewitnesses and apostles who saw his glory and who recorded it for our faith. And so Matthew has made him to us to be the renowned king. And Mark has made him to us to be the renowned servant of the Lord, always going about doing good. And Luke has made him to us to be the renowned man. And John has made him to us to be the renowned and only begotten Son of the Father. And so the Gospels make this renown to be known and to spread abroad in all the earth the Gospels which have gone into all the earth, and where'er they go, they make his renown to be continued and known among men, delivering and declaring unto us Christ's glory, setting forth his honour and his name, causing men and multitudes to inquire concerning him. And not just to inquire concerning him, but to come to him, to enter into him, to get into this plantation, to be in Christ, that they may have this everlasting life, to eat and to drink his body and his blood, that they may live forever. And not just the four Gospels, but all the Holy Scriptures, the whole Bible testifies of him. They are there that testify of me. The book sets forth Christ, makes him known, so that men will see clearly his renown, and faith might arise by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they believe in him and trust in him. So the Bible is the photo album of this plant, the photo album of Christ. It is the stage on which the drama of his glory and of his kingdom is unfolded before us, so that we have confidence in him. And so these scriptures going out into all the earth make him renowned. But not the scriptures on their own. The scriptures accompanied by the Holy Spirit. And it really is the Holy Spirit who makes him to be renowned, who takes away the blindness of men and causes them to see the name of the Lord Jesus and his fame. The scriptures accompanied by the divine comforter, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and he makes Christ renowned. And it was him that made him to be renowned to us, so that to us there was none like him, and we could never be without him. And so the Holy Spirit's function, as the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall glorify me. He will exalt me. He will, through his scriptures, make me to be renowned and famous, so that multitudes shall believe on me, the Holy Spirit. And so, as Paul has told us, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God would ever call Jesus accursed. He could never do that, because every man that the Spirit of God teaches calls Jesus Lord. Lord. It is the Spirit that shows us his renown through the scriptures. And then the church of Jesus Christ, the body below, has contributed to this also. The body has made the head to be honored. The body has made the head to be known, just as the head has made known to the body himself. So the body makes known to the nations the head. And the church makes Christ renowned by its ordinances, especially by its preaching. We preach Christ crucified. We never cease preaching Christ until his renown fills the earth and covers the lands and the nations. Christ is proclaimed by the church, and we join with the Holy Spirit. The bride and the Spirit say, come. The bride and the Spirit point out the one of renown. They point out the salvation of God, and they say, come in, enter in, come to Christ. Come to the plant of renown. And so we make him renowned by our preaching. The church makes him renowned by the sacraments, the Lord's table and baptism. The members of the church make him renowned by their testimony, by their witness. And so by the testimony of the saints, they're always making renowned Jesus Christ, increasing his fame, extending his name and his honor amongst all communities. They say, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. And so they speak about the Lord. The members speak about the head. The members exalt the head, so that the head has all the renown and all the glory. Now when I'm old and gray-headed, what did the psalmist say? Lord, don't forsake me. Don't leave me to dementia. Don't leave me to weakness of bodily frame, so that even to my very last, I may have the strength to declare unto this generation thy power, thy majesty, thy honor. That every member to their last breath never ceases to make known the renown of Jesus Christ. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, every member says. The humble thereof shall hear and be glad. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And so it is through the members that his renown is published abroad. And what is he renowned for, this plant of the Lord? Well, I raise up for them a plant of renown. They shall hunger no more. They'll not be consumed anymore. They'll not have the shame anymore. So let me suggest, whenever you look at that, two things about what he's renowned for. The first, of course, is salvation. That's the first, that's the main thing. So that men are not consumed anymore. So that men don't perish anymore in their sins, in their debt, in their poverty. And so he's renowned for salvation. He saves. He saves the perishing. He saves the hungering. He saves the famishing who have not the bread of life. And he brings to them himself, who is the bread of life. His renown is the renown of his name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's a savior. That's his name. His name is spread all abroad, and everywhere you hear his name, the most spoke of name in the world, the most preached about name in the world, the most name written about in books in the world, this one name above all other names, this name, Jesus. My, whenever that man Joseph named the child Jesus, he started an earthquake that has not yet ceased its mighty effects to this day. Jesus. He shall save. He's renowned for his salvation. He's renowned for his power to bring life to sinners. Behold the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. He turns men from iniquities, and neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name, there's no other plant of renown in all the earth but Jesus Christ. Under heaven among men, there's none other whereby we must be saved, only him, able to save to the uttermost. That's his renown. Everyone who comes to God by him, he's able to save them to the uttermost. Everyone that believeth on him hath everlasting life. No questions, no doubts, no uncertainties. All who trust in him are saved. This is his renown. A mighty Savior, able to save the vilest. Saul of Tarsus told of his renown. He saved me from being a persecutor. The dying thief could speak of his renown. He saved me in the last moment. He saved me in the last hour. That hardened, bad man, the Philippian jailer, who cruelly treated his prisoners, changed by the power of Jesus Christ. And a multitude more tell the same story. By his grace, we are saved. And so he's renowned for the forgiveness of sins that he brings, for the pardon that he has for the vilest, for the setting free of the prisoners and the breaking of all their chains and the scattering of darkness and the opening up of the prisons of Satan to let his prisoners free. He's renowned for this. Mighty to save. That's his renown. They'll not be consumed anymore. They'll have life. They'll never perish. That's his renown. All that come to him, all that enter into Christ, are saved. It's like everyone who entered into the ark. Whenever they were in that planting of Noah, they were saved. In a sense, the ark was a plant of renown in which mighty saving things were wrought. And Jesus Christ is that ark. And all that enter into him are saved. There's no soul disease that he cannot cure. There is no sin that he cannot pardon. There is no stain that he cannot wash away and blot out and forgive and forget. For he is mighty to save. He's renowned for that. The church knows that. The church preaches that. There's no chain that he cannot break. So you can come into him as into the plantation of renown, and you will see this salvation, and you will go in and out as one saved and nourished. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Have to enter in, you see, into this plant of renown. And entering in, he shall be saved. And he go in, and he go out, and he'll find pasture, and he'll never be consumed with hunger. In Christ, that solves all, that resolves all. To be in him is to have life, and to want no more, and to need no more. He who has Christ, the plant of renown, has all, has everything, because Christ is all and in all, and in him is to be in all, and to lack nothing. So, sinner, come then to the plant of renown. I'm not telling you anything new when I tell you this about the renowned wonders of Jesus Christ. You've all heard it from being a children, I'm sure. You could probably preach it on to me. You know this. But have you entered in to the plant of renown? Have you come to Christ to experience the work of grace? And so there is the salvation that they'll not be consumed with hunger again. They'll never perish. And then, neither shall they bear the shame of the heathen anymore. What does that make us think about? Comfort. Comfort. Peace. You know, when you bear shame and scoffing rude, there's no comfort, it's uncomfortable, it's distressing, there's no peace. You just want to get out of it, to escape it. But in Christ, there is comfort. There's rest from the distress. The shame is all gone. The reproach, and there is rest and peace. For he is the rest giver. He is this Prince of Peace, renowned for his peace. How many did he say to go in peace? He provides assurance, confidence, rest, peace that passeth all understanding, joy unspeakable and full of glory, so that the saints can say, I greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul is joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robes of righteousness. He's decked me as a bridegroom with so many ornaments, and as a bride adorned with so many jewels. He has provided for me in this plant of renown, and therefore I greatly rejoice in him, and I'm glad. He makes his people glad. He brings comfort and joy, because he is of God unto us all that we need and require: wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And he keeps them in perfect peace in this place, whose mind there are stayed upon the Lord. So you see then what a wonderful paradise Christ is. A paradise of renown. To come to him is to enter into Psalm 23, as we spoke about this morning. To find in him the Jehovah Jireh, who brings us all things. So in Christ, in this place, in this person, we can say with confidence, I have righteousness and strength. And so let us always then pray to him. Let us always look to him. Let us always trust and rest in Jesus Christ and in him alone. And let us find grace to talk of him and to tell of him and to preach him till more and more hear of his renown and themselves enter in, preaching him and proclaiming him until his renown becomes so great that he fills the whole world with his fame. And the knowledge of him covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. Because that will surely take place. Because God has promised to raise up a plant of renown. And God the Father will not rest until his renown fills all nations.